The Dark Paranormal is supported by BetterHelp. Now, you'll have heard me talk about BetterHelp for a long time, but I don't know that we've ever actually talked about how much people love this service when they use it. But you can check it all out yourself at betterhelp.com/reviews and see those amazing customer reviews in real time. The reviews are updated every day with hundreds of people saying how much they love BetterHelp and how helpful it's been to them. Please visit betterhelp.com/reviews to see for yourself. BetterHelp has an average live therapy session rating of 4.9 out of 5 based on over 1.7 million client session reviews. The feedback from people who've actually used this service speaks for itself. And as more than 6 million people have used BetterHelp globally, it's easy to see why. This consistent feedback from real users make it easy to see why so many people continue to choose BetterHelp. BetterHelp therapists have at least 3 years and 1,000 hours of hands-on experience. They also hold all required education, training, and certifications across a range of mental health specialities. And BetterHelp makes it easy to get started. Answer a few questions, get matched with a therapist based on your needs, and switch therapists at any time if it's not the right fit. See the reviews, see what stands out, and see if BetterHelp is right for you. Visit BetterHelp.com, that's better, H-E-L-P.com.
Not all of our minisodes need to be from listeners. In fact, places or lesser-known cases can sometimes take us to dark realms.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another installment of Dark Realms. Bi-weekly on Dark Realms, we will take a look at not a listener's experience, but a place that has at least three known spirits haunting that very location. And as we like to do here on Dark Realms, we'll begin with the spirit that's considered the least terrifying, although that's very much up to the listener's interpretation. And we do a kind of terror chronology building up to the alleged most terrifying one. But again, that's all down to your own perspective. Now, as I've mentioned recently, we have many new listeners, so a big welcome to those. And a huge thank you to our wonderful patrons who allow this show to keep running. There's information in the show notes about how you can become a Patreon, which can firstly get rid of those pesky ads, it can give you early access to each show, and can even give you two additional Patreon-only podcasts every week. And that's every week of the year, not just when we have a season. Combined with over 250 hours of Patreon back catalogue to listen to, I think joining our Patreon and becoming part of that amazing community of like-minded individuals is a wonderful way to support the show. But there's no reason to take my word for it. You can click the link in the show notes and get a free week at whichever tier you like of our Patreon. But of course, we're also partial to a like, a share, or a nice review. However you support the show is up to you. The most important thing is that you're here and we're ready to find out what today's dark realm we're going to investigate will be. Well, we need wait no longer. Please join me as we look at today's dark realm, the Forbidden City in China. In the center of Beijing stands a city within a city. Its walls are nearly 10 meters high. Its gateways are guarded by stone lions, painted gods, and enormous red doors studded with golden nails. Behind those doors lies a maze of throne rooms, temples, courtyards, gardens, private chambers, and narrow passageways, some flooded with sunlight, others seemingly never designed to receive it. This is the Forbidden City. Construction began in 1406 under the Yongle Emperor and was largely completed by 1420. For more than five centuries, it served as the political and ceremonial heart of Imperial China. 14 Ming emperors and 10 Qing emperors ruled within its walls. Surrounded by relatives, officials, eunuchs, servants, etc., and thousands of palace women. UNESCO describes the complex as having nearly 10,000 rooms, and as the seat of supreme power for more than 500 years. But the Forbidden City was not merely a palace. As we've seen over and over again on Dark Realms, places steeped with such grandeur often are also prisons. Once selected for a palace service, a woman could spend years confined behind walls that she never had permission to cross. Imperial favor could bring jewels and influence, but it could also inspire jealousy, punishment, isolation, and death. Political intrigues and underhand goings-on took place in rooms where servants were expected to see nothing, hear nothing, and, of course, repeat nothing. The palace ceased to be the center of imperial government after the collapse of the Qing dynasty. The Palace Museum was formally established in 1925, preserving the former royal complex and its collections for the public. Today, millions enter through its gates beneath the bright Beijing sky. But some visitors leave before darkness settles. By then, the courtyards are empty. The last voices fade, the doors close, and guards begin their patrols through passages that were old long before their grandparents were even born. And according to the stories whispered in Beijing, the Forbidden City does not become empty at night. It merely returns to its former inhabitants. Today we will talk about three of them, beginning with a ghost that mourns, continuing with one that haunts, and ending at a place where history and nightmares meet. So let's begin with the tale of the Weeping Woman in White. The least violent of the Forbidden City's female spirits is also one of its most frequently reported and repeated. A solitary woman in white, heard crying after the living have long departed. She's usually described as young, with long dark hair and pale robes resembling mourning clothes. No reliable account gives her a name. Some versions identify her as a neglected concubine. Others call her a palace maid who died without family, ceremony, or proper burial. This uncertainty is part of the legend. She represents women whose identities disappeared into the palace's service, remembered only as footsteps, fabric, and sobbing. It should be unsurprising to hear, then, that witnesses allegedly hear her before they see her. The sound begins quietly. A woman crying somewhere beyond a wall. Follow it, and it moves into the next courtyard. Turn a corner, and a pale figure is suddenly ahead of you, walking with her head lowered. One widely circulated account describes a young man approaching the woman from behind and attempting to speak to her. She did not acknowledge him. She continued walking, apparently unaware of his presence, or deliberately refusing to reveal her face. Other versions end more violently. The woman stops sobbing, releases a piercing shriek, and runs towards the witness before vanishing. Arguably a more subliminally frightening version of this legend states the woman does not always disappear. Those who follow the crying may find themselves returning to the same courtyard again and again, despite walking in a straight line. The doors behind them appear closed. The passages seem subtly altered, and each time the weeping begins again, but this time closer. First behind a wall, then behind a doorway, then directly behind the listener. No attack is ever described, no hand reaches out. But when the witness turns around, the courtyard is empty. although the crying continues inches from their ear. And yes, allegedly, this is not the most terrifying spectre here in the Forbidden City. Next, we look at the faceless woman in black. There's not much you can do about the money you have now, but if you want to do something about the money you could have tomorrow, Acorns wants to help. And with the Acorns Potential screen, you can find out what your money is capable of. Acorns is a smart way to give your money a chance to grow. It's easy. You can sign up in minutes and start automatically investing your spare money, even if all you have is spare change. Because Acorns grows with you. Whether you're just starting out or thinking about settling down, Acorns supports your big and small goals across every life stage. And the Acorns Potential screen shows you the power of compounding and how your money can grow over time. Plus, you can quickly adjust how much you're investing every day, every week, or month to make sure you're building toward your goals. Acorns is an all-in-one. No more finance apps cluttering up your phone. With Acorns, you can invest, save, and give your money a chance to grow in one trusted place. I've had and used many financial applications, but the specific thing about the Acorns app I love is the potential screen. Of all the apps I've used, it gives me such a clear picture of the opportunities for my cash to grow. So sign up now, and Acorns will boost your new account with a $5 bonus investment. Join the over 14 million all-time customers who've already saved and invested over $22 billion with Acorns. Head to acorns.com/darkparanormal or download the Acorns app to get started. Paid non-client endorsement. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. T2 compensation provided. Potential subject to various factors such as customers' accounts, age, and investment settings. Does not include Acorns fees. Results do not predict or represent the performance of any Acorns portfolio. Investment results will vary. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/darkparanormal. I'll be the first to admit I am not the most organized man in the world, especially when it comes to organizing a dinner party. There's usually always a missing ingredient, and normally it's the main ingredient, which then leads to a rushed supermarket trip to pick the best of the worst that's been left out. A problem that would simply not exist if I was stateside and able to use Omaha Steaks. With the ability to get fresh Omaha steaks and keep them frozen in my freezer, I would never have this danger again. With things like their legendary steaks, their flavor-filled burgers, and seafood and chicken, it's like having your own trusted butcher and gourmet food shop right at home. And you may think, can frozen delivery be this good? Well, yes. Omaha Steaks are known for their meticulous aging process and vacuum-sealed individual packaging. And if you've never tried them before, start perfectly with the Burger Perfection Flight. The Burger Perfection Flight includes four pure ground versions of the following meats: filet mignon burgers, New York strip burgers, ribeye burgers, brisket burgers, and sirloin burgers. Try the Burger Perfection Flight at omahasteaks.com today. That's 20 premium steak burgers for just $79.99. And get $35 off with the promo code BEEF. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code BEEF, for $35 off at checkout. Terms apply. See the site for details. The faceless woman in black does not mourn. She allows herself to be chased. The story is commonly dated to a night in 1995, when security personnel were patrolling after the Forbidden City had closed. Two guards reportedly saw a lone woman, dressed entirely in black, moving through an otherwise deserted section of the palace. Her presence made no sense. Visitors had been cleared from the complex. Doors had been checked. A trespasser inside the Imperial Precinct represented a serious security breach. The guards called out for her to stop. She continued walking. They followed, believing she may be a thief. Yet, however quickly they moved, the woman remained at a set pace ahead of them, gliding through the darkness without appearing to run. She finally reached a locked door. With no visible route of escape, the guards cornered her, and they ordered her to turn around. She obeyed. And in the words repeated through the surviving versions, she had no face. There were no eyes, no mouth. She had no features beneath the long black hair, only a blank surface where a human face should have been. The guards dropped their torches and fled. Back in the guardroom, they told a third man what they'd seen, and the three armed themselves and returned, perhaps expecting an intruder maybe wearing a mask, perhaps hoping fear had distorted the encounter. Their torches were still lying where they had fallen, still shining across the stone. The woman was gone. The door remained locked. There were no windows and no obvious place in which a person could hide. No public palace museum report verifies this event, and the guards' complete names are absent from published versions. It survives as an urban legend rather than a documented incident. But interpretive events make this encounter darker. You see, in many supernatural traditions, a spirit without a face is not merely disfigured. It means it's been stripped of identity. It may be a dead person whose name was erased, or something inhuman imitating the outline of a woman without understanding fully how to complete it. There is also the chance maybe she was leading them, step by step, towards a locked door she already knew they could not open. And that's for our final ghost. And this ghost does have a name. Consort Zen, at the well. And yes, she has a face. And history records that she indeed died inside the Forbidden City. Consort Zen is often called the Pearl Concubine. She was born in 1876 and entered the Quangxi Emperor's household as a teenager. Contemporary and later accounts remember her as intelligent, independent, and unusually interested in photography and political reform. She became a favorite of the emperor, but that position placed her in direct conflict with the formidable Empress Dowager Cixi, a lady who dominated the late Chuang court. After the failure of the Hundred Days Reform in 1898, the Quangxi Emperor was effectively confined, and Consort Zen was placed under house arrest. She reportedly spent roughly 2 years isolated from him in a remote part of the palace. Then, in August 1900, foreign armies approached Beijing during the Boxer Crisis. Dowager Cixi and the imperial household prepared to flee. Consort Zen did not leave with them. Official Chuang records present her death as a suicide or martyrdom. Other accounts, including recollections attributed to eunuchs and palace servants, claim that Cixi ordered her killed. One oral account remembered a shouted command, "Throw her down." What followed was the sound of a struggle and a body falling into the well. Consort Zen was approximately 24 years old. Her remains were retrieved later and eventually interred at the Western Chuang tombs. The well associated with her death still stands near the Palace of Tranquil Longevity. Her haunting begins with sobbing. Guards and late working staff are said to hear a woman crying near the well when the surrounding courtyard is empty. Others describe the sound of silk scraping over stone, as though the killing is not merely remembered, but repeated. Then comes the reflection. The well appears dry during the day, yet palace folklore claims that after dark, water can sometimes be seen below. Anyone looking into it may fail to see their own face. Instead, guards have reportedly seen what one cultural account calls the reflection of a woman. She is said to stare upwards from beneath the water. The darkest version warns that the face changes as the observer watches. Listeners of old will note I did not refer to a residual haunting or stone tape theory regarding this repeated death. And the reason is the occult interpretation is terrifying, because this is not a residual image repeating an old death. At first, the woman appears calm. Then her hair begins drifting around as though she's submerged. Then her mouth opens. Her hands rise towards the surface. The reflection seems to come closer, although nothing disturbs the water. And then the observer begins feeling fingers closing around the wrists that are resting on the stone rim. Because this is no residual image. This is a conscious spirit attempting to exchange places with the living, to pull another body down so something drowned, furious and forgotten may finally climb out. Now, Consort Zen's death is the only one of tonight's three stories tied to an identifiable historical victim, but that doesn't prove her spirit is in the well. But it does mean that when visitors stand there, they are not imagining an invented tragedy. They are standing at a place where a young woman entered imperial history and, by one means or another, never walked away. This has been one of my favourite Dark Realms to research and produce. I hope you enjoyed it too, and I'll be back in 2 weeks with our next Dark Realm.